Open your Bibles tonight, please, the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. The book of Proverbs, chapter 22. We are going to continue the series of messages we started Wednesday night and actually introduced some basic truths this morning, some basic thoughts this morning on marriage, and kind of really talked out of my own observation as your pastor, but also in my own personal life, and just to kind of set up some thoughts of where we're going to be heading in our series. In Proverbs chapter 22, perhaps one of the most well-known verses, maybe put to memory of many of us, maybe in this room, in the context of raising our children, and what the Bible and what God intends of raising our kids. You know, I've said to you on many occasions, and the Bible absolutely supports. It says that children, another passage of Scripture, the Bible says that children are an heritage of the Lord. The word heritage literally means in the Hebrew the gift of Jehovah is what they are, and they're precious gifts that God has entrusted us with. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus not only has entrusted us with it, He expects us to pour our lives into them. So tonight we're going to talk about training up our children. Now you may be here tonight, so great, I can check out of here because I don't have any kids. No, don't check out, because especially if you're a young person, you say, well, this message isn't for me. Well, here's what I learned in life. I remember being where you're at, you know, maybe a teenager, and thinking to myself, maybe my preacher would preach on marriage and preach on children and all that kind of stuff, and thinking, man, great, this is one sermon I can read through the hymn book and I can do all kinds of stuff. Well, here's what I learned. I later became a dad. I became a husband first, then I became a dad. That's the best way to do that. But anyway, it's important, and we want to see what God has to say about it. You know, there's a passage in the book of Joshua I read just before I stepped to the pulpit, and it reminds me, and Joshua was, he put before the nation of Israel a decision. And he basically said, hey, you know, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And would to God that we as God's people, raising a family up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, like the Bible says we ought to do with our kids, would to God we would see the sense of urgency today, especially in the culture in which we live, to pour into our kids a biblical foundation and get something under them. Amen? They're going to need something under them as they transgress through this life, as they continue to go through this life, and as they transition from childhood really into adulthood. Yes, there's a period of adolescence there, but we're hoping to transition them in to adulthood, and when they become adults, they'll quit taking money from us. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. When they become adults, they will be able to stand on the foundation that we've laid under them with the help of God. So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to talk about tonight training up children. Training up children. Verse 6, just one verse tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's read that again. Proverbs 22, 6. Still turning. That's okay. I'm glad you brought your Bibles tonight. Proverbs 22, 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Father, we love you. Help us to love you more. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher, be our guide. And God will praise you for what you're going to do in our midst. For it's in Christ's holy name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What does it mean to train up a child? Why is it that here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, we truly believe in children ministries? What's the significance? You say, preacher, aren't you aware that it costs thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars to have a lot of the ministries that we have and support a lot of the ministries that we have? Yeah, I'm well aware of it. And may I remind each and every one of us, it's worth every penny. Amen? It's worth every penny of what we put into the lives of our children. Why is that? Here's a staggering statistic. I don't know if it's George Barna or someone who came up with these numbers, but it is said that 75% of people that get saved will do so before age 14. Wow. 75% of people, is estimated, 75% of people that will get saved will do so before the age of 14. So the writer here of Proverbs is giving us one verse, and yet in this one verse, there's a couple thoughts. There's a plan in this verse, but there's a promise in this verse. The Lord Jesus says to train up a child. That's the plan, in the way he should go. Not the way little Johnny wants to go. Not the way Johnny gets a bad rap, but not the way he may want to go at the moment. No, we're to train up a child in the way he should go, and here's the promise. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, there's a lot of people say, well, see, right then and there, here's what you have to understand about this. Does it mean that little Johnny won't get wayward? Does it mean that our children will not get wayward from God? That's not what he's saying there. Here's the principle. The principle is this. If you pour the word of God into your kids, I promise you on the authority of the Bible, they will not be able to get away from the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be obedient to it. It does not mean that they're going to surrender to it, but with prayer and we seek God's guidance in this, and we pray for wisdom in their lives, that they will heed the message of the Bible, that they will heed the principles of Scripture, and they will build their lives and going forward, not only their lives, they will build their homes, their marriages, their roles as parents on the principles of the Bible, not what culture dictates. We should never live our lives, I know you know this, we should never live our lives on the whims and the dictates of our culture. Our culture changes constantly. But as I said to you this morning, God's word, and I know this may seem, you said, preacher, you say it so much, I don't want it to become cliche, but we say it so much, but I hope you know this, it's so true. It's important we know it as teenagers, and we know it as adults. God's word doesn't change. Have you really wrapped your mind around that? God's word does not change. So God tells us, as parents, we're to train up our children in the way they should go. Now, with that comes a lot of responsibility. Let me ask a question, and hopefully I can get a right consensus. I think I will. Parenting is not for the faint of heart. Can I get a witness in the building? It's not easy. Somebody said, well, once you get through the toddler years, now let me also interject this statement. I promise you this. My wife and I, we are enjoying every phase of our kids' lives. I remember when they were little. I remember when Ashley's like, Dad, please don't use me on illustration. Okay, well, I won't mention her name, but our daughter, right? We only have one daughter, and she's my favorite daughter. When she was little bitty and she was learning to crawl, she used to belly crawl. And she used to belly crawl, and she'd pull her little elbows like this, and I think she'd seen her dad do that a lot. But she'd be going towards something, and she'd be saying this. No, 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 no. She already knew she wasn't supposed to touch the television set, right? But we had to train, and we had to mold, and that's what we're doing. Now, let me also say this. I want you to hear my heart in this. I am not saying that we have arrived as parents. The minute you think you arrive as a parent is the minute that God will say, well, let me allow you to see this situation or that situation. But we've always, and thankfully, and I'm grateful to God for this, we've tried our best to stay teachable. We've tried our best to stay teachable. And one thing I'm going to show you in a moment is being careful of what hills we die on. And that'll make sense in a few minutes. But what does it mean to train a child? Now, let me give you a few thoughts. And to be honest, we're going to do one principle tonight. We're going to give you a lot of information. We're not going to keep you long. We have a business meeting, a short business meeting. But what does it mean? Well, first of all, training up children, number one, it is training that begins with childhood. It is training that begins with childhood. Now, let me interject something here. You may be a nice preacher, but I'll be honest with you. I really wasn't there. Maybe you weren't there a lot. Maybe because of your job or what have you. You weren't there a lot early on in the early ages of your child's life. But the good news is this. You've got an opportunity starting now to pour your life into them and encourage them and love them unconditionally. That's that statement right there. And I want you to write that down. I know you know this. We as parents better love our kids unconditionally. We better make a conscious choice that we will love them unconditionally. They say, preacher, why is that important? Well, it's important when you illustrate it with Scripture about the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son and his father, it was evident that that father chose, love is an action word, he chose to love his son unconditionally. He didn't condone his sin, right? He didn't condone his sin. And I think we can even substantiate in that chapter in Luke 15 of that story, he wasn't a father that was too concerned about being a friend to his son and not a dad. He was so concerned about being a dad. Now, I'm not saying we should not, be friendly with our kids, but ultimately, and you can ask the expert this, and you can research this, I promise you'll find the consensus is this. Parents, children don't need you as a friend as much as they need you as a parent. Can I get a witness? Thank you, fellas. Can I get a witness in the building? We need to be the parents in our child's lives. Now, being parents requires some things. You say, well, preacher, I know you're going to get on this. Well, what are we to do as parents? As parents, and you're going to see as we move forward through this, I'm going to give you some expert some tremendous material that I've come across and kind of compiled in the last week, actually a couple years, to be honest with you, and some of the studies that I'm doing. Let me back it up, and then I'll give you some thoughts of where we're going, because I want to keep this a pretty good succinct order here. It is training that begins with childhood. To train up a child, you must begin early. The word train, here's interesting when you study Scripture. The word train is used only four other times in the Bible. Two times it is spoken of a man dedicating his house, and the other two times it talks about Solomon dedicating the house of the Lord. So the idea of training up actually has the idea of dedication. Now we see this illustrated perfectly in a story of Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel, who dedicated her child to the Lord. Remember that story? She prayed to God. She was barren. She couldn't have a child, and she was devastated by that. So she sought God, and she would go up to the temple, and she would pray, even to the point where one thought she was drunk. She was talking to herself. But no, she was pouring her heart out to God, and as she poured her heart out to God, God answered her prayer, and God gave her a child. And when God gave her a child, guess what she did with him? Guess what she did with him? She gave him back to God. May I remind every one of us in this room tonight that children are gifts of Jehovah God, and it absolutely is best that we understand that we at best have just been lent our children from God. We don't own them. You say, oh, preacher, I own them. No, you do not. You do not own them, and I promise you this, that we as parents must understand the principle. Here's a good thought. We must understand the principle of stewardship when it comes to our role as a parent and our children. We are to be good stewards in the lives of our kids. You say, preacher, I've never thought of stewardship that way. Well, to be honest, I just thought about it as I was preaching it. And the Lord just kind of gave me that thought. We think of stewardship and we think of our money, right? We think of things that we can, our homes and our cars and all that. But stewardship involves so much more. Yes, it involves our talents, our ties, our treasures. And I could think of nothing more valuable than our children as parents. The most precious gifts that God gives us as far as in a human relationship. So with that, would to God, we'll get a handle on this idea of stewardship in the context of our role as a parent. And I hope that you will. And I hope we'll just kind of dig through some of this as we go through this. So, it speaks of dedication. The very first thing you should do is give that child back to the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I, one of the things that we've done, and we've even done it here as a church, is have baby dedication. Not baby dedication, we quit calling it that. We call it child dedication, where we just simply, in a service, we just dedicate our children back to the Lord. And we ask God just to have his will in their life. And we ask the Lord to protect them. And we pray. And we ask God to give the parents the wisdom to raise their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes intentional effort to do that, ladies and gentlemen. Because I promise you this. This world, this satanic influenced world that we live in, will do everything in its power to to rob you of your influence in the life of your child. But may I remind you, there is no one that can influence your child more. Let me say it like this. There is nobody like you and mom, dad. There is nobody like dad and mom in the life of their children. They say, preacher, what happens if you were raised without a dad? Well, thankfully, thank God, there may have been some that have stepped into your life and was a role model and was, if you will, a caregiver in your life. And that's valuable. You can't place really a monetary value. You can't imagine that value. So why is this principle of starting early so important? Children are like, maybe you can say it like this. Children are like little sponges, aren't they? They soak up everything. They watch TV. They watch the little educational programs. And they watch, when our kids were little, they would watch Sesame Street. And Cameron used to love Barney. How many like Barney? He's like, Dad, don't go there, Dad. Please don't go there. Well, he's like Barney. What did Toby used to like? How to Make Bombs in the Garage. Something like that? Was that the show? Right? How to Blow Up Things and Not Get Caught. No, I mean, our kids, they love, children are like little sponges. They absorb everything that we do. We start early because, here's a few thoughts. Number one, of the curiosity factor. Children are often very curious. Number two, the memory factor. They often have a high memory ability. Now it's proven, the experts will tell you this, you can research it for yourself, that we learn more in the first 5 or 6 years, maybe 5 years, 5 or 6 years of our life, we learn more in that span of our life than we will the rest of our life. So if that's the case, we've got to become very intentional, especially early on in the life and development of our children's lives. The memory factor, the humility factor. There's a curiosity factor. There's a memory factor. There's a humility factor. These are often very high in our children. Little kids are often very humble, especially little children. The trust factor, it's not a bad thing. It could be a great thing. You say, yeah, but children, man, no, it can be a bad thing. Sure, the trust of children is very, very high, and we have to be careful there, but we can use that to our benefit to honor the Lord Jesus. There's a trust factor that children have, often far more than adults might have. But the Bible says, again, in that verse, train up a child in the way he should go. So we see the phrase, the way there. He should go. There's a certain way that a child indeed should go. So let's talk about it. What are some thoughts? What are some things that we can do with our children in starting early? So it begins early, but it is to continue on through. So what do we do? Well, what do as parents? We communicate things with our children. The idea of dedication, but it's also meant, and I love this statement. This is a phenomenal picture. The word train there, it's an interesting picture word. It means to put something on the palate of a child. That's a beautiful picture. It was not uncommon for Jewish women, especially when their children were weaning off, that they were going to move towards solid food. It was not uncommon for a mom to mix up some herbs, like some olive oil and some other herbs, and they would then put it all together, and they would take their fingers, and they would rub their fingers in that, and then they would reach into the mouth of their children. On the very back of the palate of their mouth, they would rub that olive oil, mixture of olive oil and herbs on the mouth, the roof of the mouth of those children, the palate of that child. What were they doing? They were creating a desire to eat. We as God's children, if you're born again and you have children, especially if you're born again, and if God's blessed and you have kids, or maybe not just this, you have influence. Maybe you're a grandparent. Maybe you're an aunt or an uncle. Regardless of, my point is, if you have the opportunity of influence in children's lives, in this training perspective, if you could picture that, we want to create a desire for God in their life. We want to create a desire for God. We want to create a desire for God's word in their life, right? We want to create that. So you can imagine being that little baby. True story. My wife says this. She says she thinks the reason our children, they ate just about anything we put in front of them. And I think one of the reasons we've kind of come to a conclusion on this, one of the reasons perhaps that is because they teethe on beef jerky. Boy, you know you're a redneck parent when you teethe your when your children teethe on beef jerky. I mean, they used to gnaw on it, man, that tough beef jerky. And maybe that's true. So I don't know. But the point is, it's important. There's a lot of thoughts in this. Of course, we talked about this past Wednesday night, a good passage. You can write this reference down, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. The context there, remember the context? Moses is preparing the nation of Israel to go into the promised land. And before God would take them in the promised land, God wanted them to learn his word. He knew the principle. Remember the passage Jesus quotes in the New Testament when he was asked by the lawyer, what's the greatest commandment in all the Bible? Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6. Well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and the mind, right? Jesus quotes that passage. So the principle there is this, mom and dad. In order to be able to teach our kids the value of loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, we also have to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. That's a simple principle. You know, I think sometimes we've kind of put the church, the local assembly, we've put the church in a unwinnable situation. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Now, we love as a church. We're grateful to God. We've got some of the best, I promise you. We've got some of the best children workers of any church I've ever seen. Brother Paul heads the children's ministries and does a phenomenal job. And we've got some of the best children workers. But are you aware of something? When it comes to truly educating your kids as far as in the value of God and serving him and loving him, you know whose primary responsibility that is to do that? It's our responsibility as parents. It's our responsibility as parents. Now you say, yeah, but preacher, yeah, but I thought you just kind of send them off to church and that's going to produce something spiritual. No, the church, here's the role of the church. The role of the church is to come alongside of the family to help and to aid in the teaching and training, if you will, of those children. And not just children, teens, adults, you can fill in the blank there. But ultimately, the first responsibility that we have goes to raising our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is the parents. You see, it has to be in your heart. You can't teach, this is a good statement, you can't teach what you don't know any more than you can come from where you've not been. That's a good statement there. I think it was Dr. Adrian Rogers that made that statement. He says it has to be in your heart. This relationship, this attitude of loving God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. You can't teach what you don't know any more than you can come from where you've not been. That's a tremendous statement. So, what do we teach them? What do we do? What do we say? What are some things that we are to do as parents in the context of raising our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Now, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn to the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I gave you this Wednesday night, but I'm going to expound on it a little bit more. Now, there's different roles that we have as moms, as dads, especially early on. I think I would even add that especially very early on in the life of our children, the mom's role is very critical because the mom is often gives more grace, right? Gives more grace, gives more tenderness as far as when it comes to the kids. That sometimes transitions as the kids get a little older. Then they move to the dad, where the dad often has a little, and I'm not saying that you saw a preacher, I was the one that did that. That may be true, right? There's exceptions to the rule. I'm just kind of giving a blanket statement there. But again, they then transition and dad should become more intentional there. But it takes both. You say, well, preacher, what happens if you're a single parent? Well, sometimes you take on the role of dad and mom, and God will bless you for that. And you pour in, and you stay disciplined. You keep them in church. You keep them under the preaching and the teaching of the Bible. Leslie and I had this conversation last night, and I mean this. Our kids, we've never, and I sound like I'm talking a lot on myself today, and I don't mean to sound braggadocious. God knows my heart. God knows my heart in this. I'm just using this for observation. We never used our children as an excuse not to serve God. We never used our kids as an excuse not to serve God. If we were going on visitation, especially early on, when we were in Westview Baptist and our kids were little bitty, they went with us. We would show them. We would demonstrate to them. And church activities, you know, my wife even said early on as a pastor's wife, she said, babe, she said, especially when the kids were really little, and Ashley probably was the only child we had at the time, early on in the pastorate, she said there was times when she'd be at church and she'd be in the nursery. And she goes, and to be honest, that was back before the days when we had, you know, TVs in the nursery where you could watch the sermons or listen to the sermons. And she said, I would be in the nursery. And she said, there were many times, she said, I thought, well, really, I could do this here. I could do what I'm doing here. I could do this at home. But my wife understood. She didn't say, but you know what? The value of showing your children and demonstrating to your children that the house of God is important and should be. Let me say this statement. The house of God should be important in the lives of our kids all the way till they die. It ought to be important all the way till they die. And I hope and I pray to God that we are rubbing the palate of their mouth, if you will, when it comes to the local New Testament church. We've treated our kids, say, yeah, but they're preacher's kids. No, they're kids. Right? Brother Stephen, your kids, they're kids. That's who our kids are. They're kids. And we've never treated them. You know, the call of preacher is not on their life. It's on dad's life. Right? Right? So we've treated them as kids. And trust me, they've had their fair share. Permanent marker on all the chalkboards when Toby was little. Spray painted the trailer. I mean, you know, we were gangsters when we moved from 8.5 in Mound. We moved over here. I mean, they tagged their gang sign. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm not going to have a job if you guys keep this up. There's so many things, so many stories. Playing golf, you know, they watch dad golf, and they know how amazing of a golfer dad is. Just kidding. We come home one day, and the window of one of the cupboards is shattered. But as we looked around, they had built a bridge kind of thing. And they had this couple things. I think they made it out of the couch pillows and everything else. And they had the golf club and the golf ball. So they hit the golf ball. And the natural laws of physics, right, goes up. It was a good shot. It really was a good shot because it went straight up those boards and crashed through that glass. He said, what'd you do? I threatened to kill him, like all good parents do, right? We threaten to give them back. I mean, just so much. Things like they say, well, preacher, yeah, but you know what? They're just, the kids are kids. And we don't condone or excuse their behavior, but kids, you have to mold them, right? You try to mold them. So let me give you a few thoughts, and you may want to write it down because it's not original to me. I came across in one of the recent lectures I watched on parenting, just some tremendous truths here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul, especially in chapter 2, Paul, of course, he's talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he says in the earlier verses that, you know, he treated them like a mother. Matter of fact, let's just kind of read it. I'll back us up a little bit here. Paul says in verse 7, he says, but we were gentle, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, but we were gentle among you as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own selves, because you were dear unto us. You could write in the margin of your Bible next to verse 8, you could write the words servant leadership. That's servant leadership fleshed out in the Bible. Not just the gospel, he says. We were willing to give of ourselves. Why? Because you were dear unto us. We were like a mom, literally a nursing mother, as far as the way we treated you. We were gentle among you. That's what he's saying there in that verse there. He goes on in verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, verse 11, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now we're going to talk about this. So the role of a dad, what's the role of a dad? And this is right out of this passage, and I hope you'll write it down, and I think it'll be a great encouragement to you. So the role of a father is to give three things in the context of raising his children. Number one, he is to bring encouragement. Let me get to my notes here. He is to bring encouragement to the child. The Bible said that in verse 11. So if we read the latter part of the verse where he says, as a father doth his children, what does a father do for his children? He exhorts them. Verse 11, as you know how we exhorted. The word exhorted means encourage. Encouragement is huge in the life of your kids. Let me say it like this. Encouragement is a big deal in the lives of all of us. We need encouragement, right? For those who say, I preach, I don't need encouragement, you're a liar. You need encouragement. You say, preach, that's not very encouraging. You call me a liar. Well, you're just not telling the truth, all right? No, we need encouragement. I've used this illustration probably 50 times over the years. If somebody is encouraged, it's because, if you take the word encourage, it's because someone or something has poured courage into you. That's why you're encouraged. If somebody on the other side of that coin, if somebody is discouraged, it's because someone or something has pulled courage out of you. So the Bible says, Paul said, as a father doth his children, we exhorted you. We encouraged you. That's what dads ought to do. You know, the Bible speaks of, in two passages, it mentions it in Colossians, and it mentions it in Ephesians, it uses the word wrath. And the principle there is, where dads are not, they are not to provoke their children to wrath. There's some imagery in that word. The one image is the image of a slow drip of bitterness. You know, sometimes dads can breed bitterness into their children. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't provoke your children. You know, it's not uncommon. My wife and I were out all the time. We're at different events. We talk to a lot of people. We talk to a lot of parents over the years in ministry. Recently, we were talking to a dad, and it was involving sports. And actually, a couple fathers recently, really recently, and a couple dads had said to me on more than one occasion about how bad their child is, their son is, in basketball. And watch my son out there. He's one of the dads even said this. One of the dads said, look at him, he's just weird. He's just odd. But see, what he doesn't understand is that same young man is struggling with insecurity. That same man is struggling with thoughts of suicide. And I often wonder, is it because our dads are breeding bitterness into our kids? So here's my question. I want to ask that dad and another dad who said, my son won't listen. And then the dad said, I played ball in school and I knew all this and I know all that. And I want to say, are you trying to live out your fantasy of being some big sports star through your kids? That's terrible. We shouldn't do that. So we should be pouring courage into them. Here's a great principle. Dr. Chap Clark. C-H-A-P, Dr. Chap Clark. He wrote a book. I would encourage you, Brother Stephen. I meant to tell you this. I just found out this. I just downloaded this book the other day. It's called, I think the name of the book is called Hurt. It's about teenagers. And it's a downloadable book, about $13. But Dr. Chap Clark makes a statement. He said, in the context of parents, not just parents, not just moms and dads, not just the dad, but also the mom, but in the context primarily of the role of a dad, we ought to be our children's biggest fan. We ought to be their fan. I mean, if you think of me for a moment, think about our relationship with Jesus. Jesus is our biggest fan. He believes in us. Can I get a witness? He believes in us. He believes in us. What a tremendous song, Pat, you sung tonight. What a great segue for the message, for the simple fact that the Father that we have, man, he's a great Father, amen? We're loved by a father. And may I remind each and every one of us, God, he may be the father that many of us never had. He's not a deadbeat dad either. He doesn't walk out on his kids, thank God. He doesn't walk out when we disobey him. He doesn't belittle us when we mess up. Yeah, I said to the church Wednesday night, and I'll say it again tonight, and I hope you're watching my internet. You said, preacher, yeah, but as a dad, what are some ways I can anger and I can pour wrath into my children? What are some ways that I can do that? By saying things like this, you're so stupid. Or maybe a phrase like this, you'll never amount to anything. Oh, why can't you be, parents sometimes this, why can't you be like your other sister or brother? I'll tell you why. Because God didn't make them the brother or the sister. God made them who they are. Unique. Individuality is seen in Scripture. That's the way God's made us. We all have a different thumbprint. Why? You think that's by accident? No. It's absolutely because of the design of a loving Creator. He's made us all with distinction. And young people, hear the preacher tonight. If he's made us all with such unique distinction, why is it, now not just teenagers, as adults, why is it we're always trying to fit in with everybody else? He's made us unique. He's made us who we are for a reason. We can serve God unlike anybody else if we'll just be ourselves and be natural the way we can serve the Lord. What a tremendous blessing. So, encourage. Paul says, as a father doth his children. The first picture of wrath provoking our kids to wrath is that of a slow drip of bitterness. Secondly, was an image of pushing your child's buttons as dads. We've got to be careful about that. You know, pushing their buttons and getting them angry. No. Don't do that. That's not good. Encouragement. The second word he mentions there in verse 11 is, you know how we exhorted, but here's a second word, and comforted. As parents, we ought to comfort our kids. A father especially ought to comfort his kids. Now, those of us that maybe are, and I've met a lot of dads over the years. I've met a lot of parents, and I'm ashamed to tell this to you. But I've met a lot of parents over the years in dealing in ministry of teenagers, and not just teenagers, adults alike, who were raised in homes where the parents never said they loved you, never told them they loved you. I'll be honest, I don't understand that. I really don't. Or raised in homes where the moms and dads never showed affection to their kids. I don't understand that. Because when I look at the relationship that my Heavenly Father has with me and I have with my Heavenly Father, He is an intimate God that loves to show me affection. He does. He pours it into me. He pours His word into my life. He says things. Tracy, you can address me. This is what the Heavenly Father does. You can address me as Abba Father. You're talking about intimate. That means daddy, literally. God the Father says, you can not only call me Father, you can call me daddy. What a God. Amen? You remember when you were a child, maybe as a little child, you got scared in the night? Maybe you yelled daddy or you yelled for mom, mommy, daddy. Why? Because you knew that they were that secure attachment that you were longing for. They were your safe, secure base that you needed at that moment. Our God is no different. He better be our secure base. He better be our safe haven. I run to you, Lord. Should we not run to the Lord? You say, yeah, preacher, but I grew up, I was raised that, hey, this is the way it's got to be. You don't show your kids affection. And I've had dads say, I'm not raising sissies. No, you're not raising sissies. You could be raising just the opposite. You could be raising a bitter young man and bitter adult as he gets older because you're not pouring love into him and not showing affection to him and not pouring and not comforting your children. One of the best things we can do as parents is learn the art of listening. Listening in our children's lives. You know, I'll admit to you, just being transparent, one of the things that I struggle with, you can ask my wife this, one of the things that I struggle with, and by God's grace, the Lord's helping me to get better at this, when my family, when anyone, but even my family sometimes, when they bring situations to me, or my kids, you know, come, they talk to me, and they've got situations going on in their life. My wife has situations maybe going on in her life. And they tell me it, maybe it's just the pastor in me, I don't know. But automatically in my mind, when I hear of the situation that needs, I'm automatically coming up with four P's in a poem on how to fix it, right? How to fix it. Just sit there and let me give you five easy steps on how to fix it. But here's what I've learned, and here's what I've learned the hard way, and I've learned through hopefully being teachable and studying things. When our kids come to us, often they're not coming, and we're not. And I'll go that route. I could say even in the context of our marriages, but let's just stay on point with our children. When our kids are coming to us and to talk to us, they're not coming a lot of times wanting us to fix anything. They just are coming to us just because they need somebody to listen to them, to just listen to them. And you know, and one author said. And this is a good point in the context of like the counseling ministry. And I would add in the context of a parental role with our kids when they come to us, especially more maybe in their teenage years, maybe than in their younger years. But it's sometimes even in the younger years. Here's the statistic. If we're talking, like if they're coming to us to talk to us and you know, to communicate something that's going on in their life, here's a good rule of thumb. If we're talking more than 10% of the time in that dialogue, we're talking too much. We just need to listen, right? They just need a listening ear. Now, let's flesh it out spiritually. You ever done that with God? You ever done that with the Lord? Have so much in your mind, have so much on your heart, have so much weighing you down that maybe driving in your car, you're just talking to the Lord Jesus. Maybe in a quiet place in your home or maybe office or wherever, that quiet place where you can just get alone with God and you just pour your heart out to Him. And the good thing is, He listens. He listens. Children, it's true. You know the proverbial phrase. Especially children, teenagers. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Right? They don't care how much you know. You ought to know more. You've lived longer, right? It should be natural. You ought to know more. But they don't care how much you know until they genuinely know how much you care. Encourage them. Comfort them. And here's another statement. I love this next one. Look at let's just read verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So the three things. We should encourage them as a dad. We should comfort them as a dad. And thirdly, we should urge them as a father to pursue living a godly life. That's what we should do as dads. We should urge them to go on and live a godly life that is pleasing to Jesus. Our goal and desire ought to be to raise children that will one day become healthy adults. Spiritually healthy adults. That ought to be our goal. And I will say this, it will not happen by accident. It will not happen if we check out as a parent and we allow others to speak into their lives. Be very careful, parents. Please hear your heart of your preacher tonight. Be very careful who you allow to speak into the life and the heart of your young people. Be careful. Be very, very careful. So, just a few thoughts, and we'll exposit more as we move through this. Some things that we are to bring into life of our kids. We're to bring safety into their life. We're to bring stability into their life. We're to bring a sense of sanctuary in their life, give them foundations. There's so much that we have for you, and I hope and encourage you, and I hope it will help us. I think it can help all of us. You say, yeah, but preacher, if there was an award given out for the perfect parent, maybe you have the attitude, we would get that perfect parent award. Well, God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. I'm not the perfect parent. Don't amen that, Harold, children. I'm not the perfect parent, nor ever. I know I'm not, because I'm just a sinner. And my point is, I've made mistakes, but here's another simple lesson. Very simple. I know you're closing your Bible because I did, but this may help you. Here's a principle that we try to model in our home. If we mess up as parents, you can ask my wife this, if we make mistakes in our children, if we've, you know, done things to hurt them, maybe even not intentionally necessarily, we've honestly tried to practice a principle where we would go to them and say, hey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. You know, many times I'm bad about, sometimes with that, jumping to conclusions. Don't amen that, Harold children. Harold boys especially, don't amen that. But, you know, so you know, and I don't listen like I sometimes need to, you know, but it's so important. But again, we're a work in progress. We haven't arrived by no means, but we're trying our best to stay teachable and mold our children to serve Jesus and love Jesus with all their heart. But I'll end by saying it's really not easy to get your kids to love Jesus if you don't love Jesus. And the first and foremost way you show that you love Christ is by giving your life to Him, by getting born again. So if you're here tonight or watching the internet and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, sweet friend, I encourage you right now where you're at for you to bow your heart and head to God and ask God to forgive you of being a sinner. And by faith, trust the gospel, believing in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, believing on Jesus Christ. He'll save you if you ask Him to do that. You ask Him to forgive you of your sin, He'll save you, He'll forgive you. And then you now can begin that journey of loving Jesus with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That may be the missing component in your family, is for you to fall in love with Christ. Maybe you just need to get saved. Dad, mom, maybe teenager, maybe young person. Maybe you just really need to give your life to Christ. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. We trust that the Lord has spoken to your heart, that you'll respond. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray about some things. Maybe just to pray for your family. Again, we give you an opportunity to do that. What's your number, bud?